Hi, this is Contrapreneur Episode 8. I'm Sarah Danu, host of Contrapreneur, where we share the stories of leaders and thinkers making the world a better place through business. Our inspiring guests will empower you with takeaways from their experience. Whether you're starting and growing a good business of your own or just considering the impact of business for the first time, we'll learn about the current state of impact businesses and our interconnection with them. A contrapreneur is everything an entrepreneur is and a bit more. Contrapreneurs are running businesses for financial profitability, but not at a cost to the environment or people they do business with. Subscribe here to Contrapreneur and you'll get the episodes as soon as they come out. Today I'm talking with Chloe Kernahan and Chrissy Jones, the creators of Skyting Yoga, which it's safe to say is my favorite yoga studio in New York City. Skyting has experienced quick and sustainable growth since they opened in 2015, which is no easy feat for any business. Today we talk about being a small business in New York City, building community, the future of wellness, and so much more. Meet Chloe and Chrissy. I'm here today with Chloe Kernahan and Chrissy Jones. We are in their sauna at Skyting for the sound quality, which is pretty exciting. I've done an interview in a treehouse and some sailboats and now a sauna. So This is taking me a lot of places. Let's go way back. Where did you grow up? What was your upbringing like and how did you become friends?
I grew up out on the island of Guam, tiny island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I was there until I was 17, then I came to New York. I went to NYU for undergrad. And post-grad, I was doing a lot of yoga, and I ended up taking a yoga teacher training at the studio where Chrissy and I met and started teaching there, and she started teaching there, and then we became good friends through dance stuff and practicing and leading a retreat together, and we never left each other's side.
The old ball and chain.
Yeah, the old ball and chain.
That was Chloe.
That was me.
Thanks.
I'm Chrissy, and I grew up in Indiana and thought I was going to be a dancer, studied it in college, thought I was going to be a physical therapist after I saw a little bit of the dance world, thought that was boring, and then really started studying yoga when I moved to New York and started teaching with Chloe, and then solidified our friendship and our teaching style really when we started practicing with Naveen Mashan, who's our mentor, who owns Katona Yoga.
Tell me about the original idea to create Skyting.
The original idea started on a napkin on New Year's Eve. Chloe and I, it was 2014 going into 2015, hanging out New Year's Eve, writing our intentions and resolutions down at a restaurant on a napkin, and I was like, I'm gonna, you know, meditate every day, I'm going to get a bigger apartment, I'm going to
get a dog,
and then the last thing I put on my list was I want to open up a yoga studio this year. And I thought all of the things would happen besides the yoga studio one, but the reverse happened. None of the other things happened, but the next week I looked at a space for fun with my boyfriend at the time and fell in love with what was the old Chinatown studio that had the skylight and what became Skyting, which means sky place, by the way. I was playing with this idea for a while of opening a yoga studio, and Chloe was like, oh, I don't know, I want to travel the world, move to Mexico City maybe, I don't know. And then once she saw the space, she was like, okay, I'm in. And then we just started developing the dream as it was happening. We had already signed a lease and didn't really have much of a business plan, but had such a clear vision for a studio which would be beautiful and a place that was a space that we would want to hang out with that looked like the restaurants and shops that we loved, and we sold products that we believed in and had art, and that's how Skyting kind of formed.
Can you just summarize your business for me for somebody who's never heard of Skyting?
We initially started it as a single yoga studio that was more of a community-based center in Chinatown, where there wasn't really any yoga available or around. You'd have to go to another neighborhood in New York.
And we lived there, and we were roommates.
We literally lived around the corner, like 2 minutes away, so it was the most perfect location for us especially, which was good because we were there all the time when we started. But as a business, in the past 3.5 years, we've now sort of morphed. We have three studios, both in Manhattan and Brooklyn and New York, We have a ton of merchandise, which is a big part of who we are as a brand, and developing that sort of voice in that realm. And we lead global yoga retreats, yoga teacher trainings, workshops, continuing education, and soon to launch a video platform.
Wonderful. Your own video platform?
Yeah.
Like within the SkyTeam website?
Yes.
For teaching online around the world?
Perhaps when this podcast is out, we will have videos.
Tell me a little more about that. Is it just you two or is it all your teachers?
So far, it's just us two.
Yeah. Uh-huh. For now, until we launch. And we'll see, you know, if it gets popular, then we'll add more teachers. But we can put in the sweat equity now, just the two of us.
And yeah.
Yeah, we filmed yesterday, so we're extremely sore.
Yeah, 10 never yoga
done
videos.
More yoga in my life. It's like 8 hours of yoga.
8 to 5 p.m., basically.
So it'll be like a paid monthly subscription thing?
Exactly.
Or okay. Neat. Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, you can do yoga on the boat.
Yes, exactly. Wherever you are.
Where I have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I totally belong to those things, but it's not possible.
Right.
Is there a third business partner?
Yes.
He is our more designer and artistic director. Mm. So
His name is Nick Poe.
His name is Nick.
we'll name him.
He designed the spaces and in the beginning was doing a lot of the graphics. Now we have a graphic designer that works for us because being a visual brand is very important to us and having beautiful things around us is very important. So yeah, SkyTing's kind of a combination of good design, good yoga, and community.
I wanted to ask you about that actually because I've noticed that everything that can be branded is branded in SkyTing. Mm-hmm. I forget, I was here a year ago and there was something in the bathroom and I was just like, I don't know what you branded in the bathroom. It was little, like a matchbox or something.
Yeah.
And
a matchbox. Yeah.
And that is something that I've noticed that you do. Like all of your signage is, the design is a big part of what you've created and has been since day one. Well, in one way it's really subtle and then in one way it's what makes you, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us were very artistic. Chloe and I love dance and art and music and we like to blend all different parts of our lives into the brand. So it's more than just yoga classes.
Totally.
And I think that's why people like our space so much. It's because we think about every little thing from which wood we put in to the tile to what we're going to say on our little plaques that we have around the studio.
Like taking your shoes off. Like, how can we say that but make it fun? So it's like shoes off, feet on. You know, it's like simple things like that that for us bring a little levity to the business and keep people like perked up and interested. Like there's always something for you to find.
Our Instagram's also a little weird and different, like obscure images that would never be related to a yoga class that we're like promoting a workshop through.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried being more serious on Instagram and like posting what you would expect a yoga studio to post?
Well, we occasionally post like yoga images and we obviously also like to include like our teacher community and stuff in the images. But I think finding the blend and the balance of that has been like the key to what makes our presence on social what it is.
Yeah, we can't even be normal if we try. So,
yeah.
How do you divide responsibilities among you and Nick and how has that changed over time as your business has grown?
So Chloe and I have similar skill sets. We kind of end up doing a lot of the same things, but on paper, I'm in charge of anything operational, studio related, so hiring and scheduling teachers and subs and kind of managing our managers and doing the social media and more in charge of like the press and other things like that. And then Chloe, on paper, is in charge of the retreats and the workshops and the teacher training program. So all of the, like, not day-to-day stuff for SkyTing.
The extra programming, yeah.
And then Nick does all of the design management.
I know the primary lineage you study is Katona Yoga, but one thing I've noticed which sets you apart is how many yoga lineages you combine together into one practice. And also encourage your teachers to teach whatever lineage or combo of lineages they're inspired to. How did you come to this?
I think based on our backgrounds, just because we both came from the dance world and we were initially both trained in a vinyasa practice, which, you know, for a lot of dancers coming into yoga, it's like that feels good because there's a lot of movement and there's freedom in it. When we started teaching, it was like the vinyasa practice was sort of surface level with the movement, but the reasons behind it were all a little like gray as far as what we were taught initially. And so when we got to the katona practice, all of a sudden there was this rich dialogue that infused all of the work we had already been doing, plus gave us even more tools and techniques to add in that made the practice super practical and pragmatic to use on a daily basis, that all of a sudden we could teach our vinyasa work but then infuse it with this new dialogue, and it became this whole new thing with like added layers. And I think we understood very early on how powerful that was. And we've studied with a whole slew of teachers from all different lineages. And one of the, I think, biggest teachings that Naveen, as like a yoga master, has taught us is that there's no right way to make a cookie. You know, there's just different recipes to make a cookie, and you have to refine your recipe and fine tune it and make it really good. But that's not a reason to bash someone else's cookie that's different than yours, you know? And so for us, it's like, we're not the masters of the universe. Our practice is not the only practice. And if we were to force all of our teachers to teach exactly like we did, then it would become stale and wouldn't feel authentic. So for us, the biggest push for who we're hiring as teachers is, do they have an authentic voice? And are they practicing what they're preaching? Like, are they actually doing the practice that they're teaching? And how is that then informing and continuing to educate them on a daily basis? Because we think that if a teacher is getting stale with their work, then it's just not going to be translated and the students aren't going to learn anything. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to make Sky Ting just like one solid, like we only teach this way, it's like, no, we're a melting pot, and Chrissy and I are constantly transforming in our practice. Who we're studying with shifts how we're seeing poses and considering what the body needs, and even like the political climate shifting. It's like the world needs to be in constant progression, like moving forward. And that's what yoga itself is constantly doing. It's like poses that people who were doing 50 years ago aren't necessarily what we're doing nowadays, you know, because what we need right now is different. We're not going to hold ourselves true to this is the corner that we live in, but rather like we're going to keep pushing ourselves and the people around us to continue to shift and change and adopt and create and recreate.
I had the chance of, I came to Sky Ting on accident first through ClassPass, I think like right after you first opened, or I don't know if you had ClassPass on day one, but pretty close, and you were both there. And
teaching or just hanging?
Like behind the counter helping someone learn how to use the check-in machine.
Right.
And one thing I've noticed is that you have a lot of the same teachers you've had since the beginning, or teachers who stay with you for a long time, which I haven't seen as much at other studios. And I think that's probably what allows your mindset about encouraging people to evolve and continue learning different practices and integrating them in what they're teaching probably allows for that more.
Yeah, we encourage our teachers to, you know, because we're teachers ourselves, we get what it's like to be a real yoga teacher in the world. And the nature of a yoga teacher is to leave and come back and to do a bunch of different things to make it work as a yoga teacher living in New York City. Mm-hmm. So leading retreats, doing trainings. So we actually encourage our teachers to go to trainings, go on retreat, lead retreats, teach workshops at our studios. We really just give our space to our teachers as a platform for them to grow their brands. And it's great because we've seen, you know, some of our new teachers that Chloe and I taught 3 years ago now are like star teachers here, and all of their classes are packed, and it's really amazing and encouraging for us. And one of the reasons why we built Sky Ting was to build up careers for teachers so that they're not capped out at like, you know, this rate and stagnate on the schedule with this amount of students, but they really can grow up in the company as we grow. I think teachers like working here because we are so flexible and we get it.
What was it like opening a small business in New York City?
We don't know. We're not business people, but we...
Sure you are.
Are now.
Yeah.
Sky Ting happened naturally and we grew organically, and we're always pushing ourselves, but it never feels too efforted where it's something we can't sustain or something that makes us unhappy. So we're always kind of checking ourselves and balancing ourselves and making sure, okay, are we growing in a way that makes sense for our livelihoods and our lifestyles that we want, and not just like growing to grow a business and to cash out.
Mm-hmm.
And we just dealt with all of our challenges as they came up, like landlord stuff.
We actually moved our Chinatown location, not by choice. You know, we had a bunch of hiccups with the build out here.
Sure.
And you know, all this, the things you deal with, you just learn as you go. This is like, we call it our Harvard education in business. It's
exactly.
Just like the first 3 years of owning SkyTank. And we really know our values and we really know what we want. And the practice keeps us in check. Like, this is a business, but it's run through all of the values and principles that we believe in and teach.
So if you were to start a studio in, say, another smaller city, do you think you would have faced all the same challenges? Or was it a little trickier or easier being in New York?
I think it could go both ways, because in a way, New York, you do have exposure to community, obviously, large amounts of people that are interested in yoga, especially for us, for this business in particular. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in this metropolitan area that need yoga, which is good for us. Also, you have access to a lot of press. You know, it's like a hub for a lot of social spaces and media, fashion magazines, all these kinds of things that can give you coverage, which helped us a lot leverage with our opening. Chrissy had been teaching some press people through Nike, and they were interested when they heard out.
When I was basically fired from my other studio and word got out I was opening SkyTank, at that same moment Nike was opening up a space, but it was just for media people. And so I was teaching one-on-ones with, you know, like the head of Vogue, the head of Elle, and then you form relationships with these people, and then 4 months later, I tell them I'm opening a space. And we had no idea how PR worked. We never had a PR person.
We still don't have one.
When we opened, all those people that we just had relationships with and students of ours just came up and thought we were doing something cool, and two women opening up their own business, you know, catches eyes in a city like this. And in Chinatown, where nothing was happening. So it was exciting for people, and luckily, we got press. We got like a New York Times write-up the first week we opened.
Yeah,
and once the New York Times and Vogue writes about you,
it's a windfall.
Yeah, it's good.
New
people
start coming in. But I do think it's like New York, I feel like you have to play on a bigger scale. But in a smaller town or a smaller city, you'll probably face the same sort of challenges, but it's maybe just on like a bit of a smaller scale. Like the stakes maybe aren't as high. Like New York rent is just insane. So like we knew the numbers we had to meet for the first few months in order to start to clear, you know, and be like, okay, we can stay afloat. And luckily for us, you know, it just like it happened and we were riding it and we just kept riding it, and we're both hard workers. So we weren't afraid to put like nose to the ground and grind hard to get where we needed to go, which if we're thinking about like small businesses between New York or other cities, I feel like it's probably a similar journey, just probably different obstacles.
I will say though that the leases and the build outs of things in New York is probably a lot harder.
Yeah.
And like you won't experience your landlord taking over your building to make it into a club anywhere else but New York.
Just a quick break. It's me, Sarah Danu, the voice behind Contrapreneur. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sending a huge wave of gratitude to all of you contrapreneurs who are cheering me on. Those of you who are replying to the Contrapreneur newsletter with encouraging words, those of you who tell me what you learned with every episode on Instagram stories, you're awesome, thank you. And I'm super thankful for the first Patreons who hopped over right when I launched the Patreon and pledged a few bucks to go to supporting the cost of creating this podcast. Editing and producing these podcasts costs money, and every dollar helps. So if you can, hop over to patreon.com/contrapreneur and give a little. Every dollar closer to my goal of $500 gets me closer to ensuring Contrapreneur is forever. If you can't give right now, no worries. Thanks for considering. Back to the main event. Chrissy, I know you are into biohacking. What are some of your favorite biohacks that you do? And are you on board, Chloe, or not so
much? She does it, but she might not call it that.
Yeah.
I don't look at a screen that doesn't have the blue light filter on it past 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your phone, your eye receptors, like if your phone's on a normal viewing screen, your eyes think it's like high noon,
mm-hmm.
and so you're not going to start to produce the hormones that you need to be able to sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really into hacking my sleep. So putting the little thing on my phone, or using, I have those glasses that block the light. So like when I'm walking down the street at night, or like looking at headlights, or watching a film at the movie theater, I put those on. I track my sleep with an app called Sleep Cycle, and I track what I did during the day and how that affects my sleep. So like if I had a glass of wine, if I took a bath, if I did yoga. So I have all this data now from 3 years. So I'm really just like data freak about my sleep. And then I take a whole slew of vitamins and supplements. And I really believe in taking care of my body through body work. We have an amazing Rolfer. We both have amazing acupuncturists. Any sort of spa treatment I'm into. The infrared sauna is one of the best biohacks that you can have in your life. And that's
spa is life.
We installed the infrared sauna here at Tribeca. It's not for students. It was actually for Chloe and me. We do 3-person sauna sessions sometimes with our energy healer. And we
talk
do,
it out.
We do like talk therapy in here as we all 3 sweat. And when she gets to a hard question that you don't want to talk about, sometimes I'm like, I have to leave the sauna. It's too hot.
Yeah.
Chloe and I are very dedicated to doing yoga and learning from the best teachers. And we're so lucky in New York that we have
access
masters here, like true masters. So we're really, I mean, I think it's cool that we go to class every week and it's like an appointment that we don't miss. And that's like part of my health and well-being.
Yeah, yoga as a biohack from you too, of course. You have 3 studios here in New York now and have funded the opening of them all yourselves. Did you have people offering to invest in SkyTing or consider pursuing investors?
We went back and forth. I mean, there's kind of 2 ways of doing a business in New York, and you can grow small and organically, or you can like put gasoline on the fire and blow it up and get investors and be in board meetings all day long. So we made a lifestyle choice. We like the life that we lead. We get to travel, we get to make changes very quickly without asking others what their opinion is. And we decided to grow in this way, but we've definitely considered taking money. We got a loan from the bank for doing merch and videos. But yeah, we are very proud that we were able to grow from funding our other studios with the profits from our older original studios. Who knows what will happen in the future, but for now, growing in this way feels manageable and the way that we want to expand.
Or tell me about the community at SkyTing.
We got lots
talent
of
shows.
Talent shows.
Talent shows.
Our talent shows are a hit. We do them at least 2 a year.
And they're open to anybody?
Yeah, they're open to the community for both like teachers, people that work at the studio, as well as community members to perform in. And the slew of talent that shows up is always remarkable.
Fire blowers, rappers, pun masters,
opera singers, dancers, hula hoopers.
It's so fun. We do a lot of events. We do film nights. We do, I think just we build community in our classes because we're not a studio that's like factory yoga. And we're not performance-based in the classroom. Like, I'm talking to my students in the classroom how I'm talking to you. And I'm calling people out by name. We add humor, and we add music. And at this point, we know everybody, and or half of the people in our classes, and I think that makes a huge difference. And the teacher training program really builds community because those people stick around and they're, you know, they eventually become our teachers.
This is a space for community and for you to come here and be recognized. Because in New York, oftentimes you can feel so alone on a daily basis from, like, you know, going to all the mainstream shops and food places and et cetera, walking on the street or being on a subway where you're, like, anonymous. And then to come into a space and be like, hey, you know, Jerry, how's your day? Like, glad to see you again or whatever, you know, or to have a teacher call you out and be like, that's a good side plank. You know, you're like, okay, cool. I'm here and I'm alive and like I'm recognized and that feels good, you know? So then by fostering that, people want to come back and they want to get to know you better and we want to get to know our students better.
What does success mean to you individually?
I guess it changes for me, but for now, my answer is...
at this moment
drum roll. It's to be happy and fulfilled and to have purpose. I really believe that you can't be selfish in business or in life and have a successful life. nothing in life is permanent. So I just think if you're doing a business for selfish reasons or it's not going to work. It might work short term, but long-term success for me is to be happy, be stable, and to feel like I have purpose and I'm helping others.
What about you?
Yeah, so I think I feel most successful when I feel I'm in integrity, like living in integrity, which I think translates on so many layers of life, like in how we do business, if we're being honest and like truthful and working from a place that stays true to our value system with the yoga practice, you know, like treating myself and how I like just give myself self-love in an honest way, like not over pushing myself when I don't need to, taking the days off when I need to. And then in all the relationships, like the more honest I can get with myself and with those around me, then the clearer I feel. And with that clarity, there's a feeling of triumph. Of I don't think any of us could be successful on our own. I think you do need others to bounce off of and to keep you in check and also to support you in that.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely having tools and techniques, like totally. Having this practice helps, because we do have all of these just ideas to play with and to bounce around in our own headspace of like, okay, well, why am I doing this? Or what is this for? Or, you know, like any of these questions that yoga asks, like, who am I? What am I here for? Like, what is my path? And the clearer I can get on that, then the easier it is to just live a successful life.
The wellness industry has grown enormously quickly, and the pace only increases every year, it seems. Where do you think that's headed, or what do you think are some trends that we might see within the wellness industry in general?
I mean, there's still so many sedentary people. It's still like 80% of Americans don't get enough activity.
Mm-hmm.
So still, I'm excited for it to grow bigger. It needs to grow bigger. I think it's necessary to have wellness in your life in this high-paced technology world that we live in. And the further away we get from nature and from, you know, just being simple, the more we need all the wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we all lived on a sailboat in Mexico in nature, we wouldn't need to like do cryo facials and like all this stuff and like take 1,000 herbs.
More
technology grows, the more important it will be to have a practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that there is less of a gap of who can practice wellness.
Definitely.
I hope healthcare can become more affordable.
Definitely.
And spread out from the epicenters of New York City.
Exactly.
Making saunas affordable.
The bubbles.
In Indiana and around the world. Are there more studios in the future for you?
I think there are. I think we'll do a few more, but we're not doing one this year.
Yeah.
Not this year,
we've decided.
Yeah. If somebody came to you and said they wanted to open up a yoga studio, what advice would you have for them?
I would ask them why and make sure they actually do, because it's not as glamorous as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chloe and I did everything, really, scrubbing toilets, painting walls, doing, you know, brick and mortar is a lot harder than it looks, and yoga studios is a big production. You have to have teachers, front desk staff, and know what you're doing. So I would say there are more fun ways to make a living being a yoga teacher, but if you really have a vision for a yoga studio and it feels authentic to you and you have an original idea and you think it's needed in the environment wherever you are, go for it, and you'll be able to do it as long as it's like on your actual path.
Who are three business people or businesses that you're inspired by?
I'm inspired by Patagonia. I think that they're like one of the only clothing brands that actually cares a lot about the world and their people. I mean, I'm sure there are others, but that's one of the big ones that we know.
Yeah, that's made a real vocal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Of like saying and being clear and
like
getting its message out.
Using the tax breaks from Trump to like fund climate change programs and
renewable, like bringing your jacket in if it has a tear in it and like lifetime guarantee, they'll fix it always. It's like,
I really like
not about buying with them. It's just like quality product and considering what their use is for the environment. We've been doing watching a lot of interviews with the two founders of SoulCycle, and we think what they created is just so incredible for how they started and how they built themselves up, and just the savvy that they had in figuring out this new industry that they were, you know, the heads of, basically. They were at the front of the pack with the whole cycling industry and right on the cusp of wellness becoming a really, really big thing and moving from gym space to boutique fitness. So for us as small business owners in this wellness world, seeing how they've created what they've created, not that we're necessarily on that path, but just seeing how they made what they've made, super inspiring.
We love the Sweet Green boys. Johnny, Nick, and Nate are close friends of ours, and they're also, they care a lot. They're doing so much good. They care about community. They're always donating proceeds to different things that are going on in the world. So, like, even today, the government shut down. They're donating a lot of their proceeds to, like, giving their money to the people who haven't been paid for 35 days.
And even just as, like, business owners, they've always, from the beginning, been super generous. And I feel like they have, like, a really firm head on their shoulders, you know, like, they're not out to just, like, go crazy in their business world, but, like, they had a true mission of what they wanted to do in this, like, fast food world of what they were trying to create and, like, educate the public around.
Thanks for listening today. If you liked it, I'd really appreciate it if you gave us 5 stars on iTunes, or even just told me in Instagram stories what you learned from this episode. I myself read and respond to every single message. We're going to be taking about a 1 month break in releasing episodes while, to tell the truth, I sail about 1,000 nautical miles through the ocean to San Diego. If you're curious about that, find me on my personal Instagram. Also, I'm super excited to meet futuristic-minded business people in San Diego when I get there. Do you have any favorite San Diego businesses? Or maybe you are a San Diego business? If so, message me on Instagram. I'm loving all the suggestions. So, next episode will probably be featuring some awesome business in San Diego, or I'm getting requests to do a solo episode about contrapreneuring myself, so maybe that. Until then, you can connect with other contrapreneurs in our Contrapreneur Secret Facebook group, on Instagram, or join the newsletter. I just sent out the first email newsletter yesterday. It will give you some insight into why I created Contrapreneur and my personal story. You can sign up through the website or through the link in the Instagram bio. It will give you some insight into why I created Contrapreneur and my personal story. You can sign up through the website contrapreneurship.com or through the link in Instagram. If you want to be sure not to miss an episode, you can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere a podcast you're listening to. Or go to contrapreneurship.com/listen to get an email when a new episode is released. You can also find us on all the social media as Contrapreneur. Thanks for being here, Contrapreneurs. Talk again soon. Super soon if you find me on the Contrapreneur Secret Facebook group.